This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Listen closely. That's not just paint rolling on a wall. It's artistry. A master painter carefully applying Benjamin Moore Regal Select Eggshell with deftly executed strokes. The roller, lightly cradled in his hands, applying just the right amount of paint. It's like hearing poetry in motion. Benjamin Moore, see the love.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Welcome back to the Winning Plays Podcast. We've got three big announcements to start the show today. Number one, the Celtics are good again, winners of five straight, seven of their last eight. Back in the driver's seat for home court advantage in the first round of the playoffs. Number two, B-Rob had a baby.
Woo!
Brian Robb, little Z-Rob, arrived last weekend. So dad's going to take some time to be a good dad and be a good husband, most importantly. But he's stopping very quickly to say hi. B-Rob, how you doing?
I'm here. I'm excited. I can't believe. And I'm in awe of my wife. It's the most important thing, I think, after a first week of Zachary's life. But I'm eager to from our dad talks with a couple of dads here alongside.
Yeah, that's our third announcement. I'll say that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm spoiling it here.
Yeah.
Third announcement.
You did. I don't know if I'm even going to do it anymore. Okay, no, fine. Number three, joining us today, someone you'll be hearing a lot more of on this feed moving forward, Tom Westerholm, sports writer at Boston.com, has been on the C's beat for how many years now, Tom? It's been a while.
Oh, man. It's been a bit. Full-time I was on starting in 2018, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
So coming three years. So we'll have some news. We'll talk about this more as we move forward. But Tom's going to be joining us, and we'll talk about it more later. Anyways, let's talk Celtics. The Celtics are good again. B-Rob, you can't stay for very long.
No.
So give us your one Celtics take that you want to get us started today.
Yeah, this is good. I've first of all, having the Celtics play on the West Coast when after a baby has arrived is great in terms of just being up all night anyway. So from the bits and pieces I've watched over the last week, I'm just going to leave you guys with my hot take with Zach on the couch as he's whispered to me. Tristan Thompson is like passing the ball. I think that's been the biggest key to this team's turnaround right now.
Is Tristan Thompson passing the ball?
Yeah.
I think you're sleep deprived.
That's it. That's like, I want you guys to discuss. I know Tom had some good, interesting tweet numbers in terms of the assist numbers that he had, I think, yesterday. But that's what I got so far from sleep deprived talk. But I'm gonna step aside for you guys to dissect that.
Just for the record, the Celtics have not lost since Zach was born, right?
Yes. And I think actually that is probably the biggest. Like, I think we're 4-0 in the Zachary era. So, like, everyone could talk about, the Perkins tweet and everything else. But I think we have to, when the story of the 2021 season is written, it might start with Zachary. We'll see.
The statistics only tell one story here. Yeah.
You keep saying Zachary. So we're going Zachary and not Zach?
I think we're going Zach. I think I'm definitely going to go Zach.
Okay.
I mean, are you guys Zachary? I mean, we're doing Zachary with an H. Is there any?
I mean, Z-Rob is the way to go.
Exactly.
The thing that you need to know is that, like, you can call him Zachary as long as you want, but as soon as he gets to school and people don't want to say Zachary every time, it's going to be Zach anyway.
Right.
Like, my parents called me Thomas for like 10 years. And, for 20 years, they still do, but yeah.
The best Zach to ever play in the NBA, is it Zach Randolph or Zach LaVine?
I go Z-Bo.
Or Zach.
Yeah, I think you have to at this point. But LaVine's making a push.
Or Zach Collins. Maybe he needs a little bit more time, I think. Cool. All right, B-Rob. Well, go.
Hey, boys.
Go
thanks thing. For going down the fort, and look forward to more dad talk with you guys moving forward here.
Absolutely, man. Congratulations.
All right, Tom, now that we got B-Rob out of the way. No, just kidding. He's still here.
Get him out of here.
Okay, now he's gone. What's going on? Like, what happened in April? It's so great because, what, 7 out of their last 8, there are 8 games in April. So it's great for splits if you're looking for stats to help explain this. Once in a while it works out, makes it a little bit easier. What jumps out to you, man? What is the – for me – no, I want yours first. What is it? What happened?
Well, so for me, I think for about 10 games there, I thought it was – and I still think – that a big part of it has been like the resurgence of Jason Tatum. He's just been great over the last like 10 games. Obviously he struggled a little bit. We're recording this on Friday. He struggled a little bit last night against the Lakers. But at the same time, that Lakers team was like a fake Lakers team and Jaylen Brown was awesome. So that, you know, kind of fixed itself. But I just think like when Jason Tatum is really good, everything makes more sense for the Celtics, right? Like then everybody's kind of roles fall into place. It just makes things a little bit easier. And I think, too, just like, you know, the ball movement has been a lot better. And the numbers bear that out. The Celtics, Brad has talked often in his post game and about how the ball movement has made a big difference and how, the Rob Williams plays a big factor in that. And Tristan Thompson, B-Rob's take, that plays a role as well. So I just think, like, there's more chemistry kind of happening organically. And I think that the rotations are making more sense. And I think the roles are just making more sense when Jason Tatum is Jason Tatum. And, you know, he's getting healthier. He's starting to feel – his lungs are starting to feel a little bit better, he says. So I think all of those things are big positives.
And you just see him. You see him out in the court. And I remember, like, in the bubble last year, it wasn't just that he was playing like a superstar. He was acting like it. And I know this is part of what Perk was going at, and I don't want to really harp on that too much, but you can see him coming to life a little bit more out there, talking a little bit, smiling a little bit more, just showing a little bit more expression, just getting excited. And then, you know, we talk about Tatum being Tatum. If he doesn't hit that shot against Portland, that's another classic Celtics loss, right? Like, that's like you talk about where the narrative goes. If he doesn't pull that shot out of his ass, and you don't say that when it's Tatum because that's what he does, but like it was not an easy shot. He saves the game with that shot, and you know, still they could maybe have had a 2-1 road trip, and that's a victory, but that would have been another very brutal loss.
Yeah, it would have been. I mean, I think a lot of people would have kind of looked at that and said, okay, like Portland is a good team. You know, the Celtics were on the road. Like, even if the Celtics have been playing great all year, it's not like it would have been some stunner that they lost to Portland in Portland. Like, that's a, you know, it's a good basketball team. So,
well, what were they? They were up by a lot, not by a lot, but like significant amount with not that much time left there, right? Wasn't it like a?
That's the thing. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, but for sure, I think that like Tatum has really kind of shouldered that, and that's what we kind of have come to expect to see from him. I think the other thing too is like, Brad talked after the Portland game about how this stretch has kind of mirrored the stretch that he had last year, right before the NBA shut down, where he had that February and he averaged like 30 points a game. And I think he was shooting like almost 50% from three. And he's not shooting 50% from three right now, but he is still averaging almost 30 a game over his last 10 games. So, you know, I think that just speaks to like he's getting to the free throw line a little bit more. He's making more free throws. Like, last year, I looked it up. He was shooting like 75% from the free throw line during that stretch. It was really weird.
Wait, during that eruption last year?
Yeah. He was missing a lot of free throws. This year, I mean, during this stretch, he's shooting like 90% or something like that.
He's 50-40-90 in April.
Yeah.
In these 8 games. His true shooting percentage, 650, which is, I think there was one, I went back, there's one random month, his rookie year, actually, that he was like 67% true shooting. But this would be like his second best month. And again, it's relatively young, but he's getting it done. But literally a legit 50-40-90, averaging 27.5, 8.1, 3.6 assists. And again, right, you said he's getting to the line, he's being aggressive, he's back. It's really kind of that simple.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you're curious to see what it looks like when he feels 100% again, because he talks about about how he's using an inhaler before games now, and how, you know, like, he still doesn't – he feels a lot better, but he's still not, like, 100%. So, be curious to see what he looks like when he feels, like, perfect. But, yeah, I mean, he looks a lot more like himself. And I think I think if you're kind of ranking the factors of why the Celtics look good again, that to me feels like number one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think then there's some, I mean, Jalen always, you know, he's, this is part of being the second banana, I guess, but I mean, he has been just as great. I mean, 17 of 20. I mean, there are 40 point games and there were 40 point games. And what he did last night in LA, just remarkable to see him do it the way he is.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was cool too, because you saw a bunch of new stuff from him. Like, I don't know how much, I mean, we've seen him like shoot some floaters, but to watch him just like make every floater, he just kind of threw up at the rim, like over
some
really
casual
tough tests. Yeah. Like, yeah, like he had one over Montrez, like that, like Montrez Harrell definitely should have blocked that shot, but you know, he's just lofting these tough ones up there. And then he comes back in, you know, because the bench can't hold a 20-point lead, and just, you know, he's right back to it. Like, he misses his first three, and then he knocks down a couple of floaters, and then the Celtics win. And it was like, you know, it was kind of that simple. I mean, he was really spectacular, and I think he's been really good over the last like five or so games too. Like, he's had some really nice moments.
Yeah, it's interesting, because the one thing we've seen recently from Jalen is that the assist numbers are down. I don't know if he's just really just locking in on just getting to the rim and scoring the ball. And I don't, it could just be random, right? But I had his splits here for a second, and it's just eight games, so not a big deal. But let me bring it back up. It was something like, it's like one of the first stretches in a while where he's got like more turnovers than assists. Could just be random, right? It's very early. Yeah, he's only got like, it's basically two assists a game during this stretch.
Yeah.
And again, because we talked so much about his playmaking earlier in the season as sort of one of the marks of him evolving into this all-star, maybe even more than that eventually. But I don't know. That's nitpicking. What about, and then there's like the combination of like Kemba and Marcus. Marcus shooting like 46% from three. Over this last eight-game stretch where they've lost seven games, and not shooting a lot, right?
Yeah.
He's playing within himself. Really, he looks closer to Marcus, the first-team all-defense guy, than he has since he's been back.
Yeah, it's been funny because he's asked questions after games where it's like, do you feel more like yourself? You know, do you feel like you're taking better shots? And every time he gets super defensive, and I kind of get that because – you know, I mean, it can't be easy to have people be like, hey, it's probably better that you're not shooting so much, huh? Like, I feel like I would also get defensive if people were saying that to me. But at the same time, him not shooting much does not mean that he's not a good player, right? Like, even if you go back to his high school days, he was averaging like 10, 15 points a game, and he was still one of the best prospects in the country. That's always been his thing, is if he doesn't shoot that much, he is – still a really good player and maybe a better player. And again, that's not a knock on how good he is. He's a really good basketball player. It's just that he's at his best when he's facilitating. He's at his best when all of his energy is going to the defensive end, because he's just such a dynamic player in both of those regards. And I think that's been one of the side effects of Tatum being really good, is that Smart doesn't feel like, okay, the offense is struggling, let me, you know, hijack it a couple times and see if I can get something going. It's just like, you know, he's playing within it. And I think that makes a big difference.
Right. Like you said, like not only is Marcus Smart probably at his best when he's not doing that, but like when you play on a team where there's Jason Tatum, when there's Jaylen Brown, where there's Kemba Walker, your team is also better when you are doing that. Much better. But, you know, and there's that one play. Was it all these empty arenas kind of blend together? Was it the Portland game where he had that ridiculous recovery? Where he dove,
yeah. Yep.
a dumb dive anyways to bring yourself out of the play, but in perfect Marcus Smart fashion, like, he comes back to make the steal. But like, you know, that's him.
It really was. And it was funny, cause like that, I mean, like you said it, that dive was just, I watched him do that. And I think I audibly said, like, what are you doing? Like, it completely took him out of the play. You know, he gave the Blazers a 5-on-4, except that he's Marcus Smart. So he just stole the ball and that turned into, I think it turned into a 3 for Tatum. Like, just, yeah. I mean, when he doesn't impact the game by scoring, he impacts the game by doing everything else. And that, you know, that boosts the Celtics.
I still, man, my big concern with him still is just availability. And like, because you see a guy, especially as he gets older, the more he's taking these hits, diving for and you love it because that's Marcus Smart, but like, I just want him to be there when it matters.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just speculation and pessimism, I guess, but it still scares me a little bit just because, like I said, for the Celtics to be, and I don't know, we'll talk maybe at the end of this, like what we think the expectations still are for this season. And if this little stretch changes anything, I don't necessarily think it does, but like, if there is any chance that the Celtics are going to make a surprise run this season, obviously they need this version of Marcus Smart. And also, like, it's interesting to see, you know, Kemba find his role. And that's, and you mentioned at the top, like one of the, like the biggest factors in the success is that guys are figuring out where they should be and what they need to do for this team to be at its best. And at the same time, you know, this 7 out of 8 games, like, the lowest Kemba's usage rate is way down, lowest points per game by a lot. The assists are way up. He's even rebounding a little bit more than he has. Like, what are you seeing from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's exactly right. Like, he's sort of settling into a role that the Celtics need him to play, which is more of a facilitator, which has kind of never been who he is. He's always been a scoring point guard. So I'm curious to see how that works out because, like, again, the Celtics brought him in. They paid him all this money to be like a scoring point guard who can kind of lead the attack. I mean, I kind of wonder if they looked at him and kind of saw somebody who could be almost Isaiah Thomas again, right? This kind of pick and roll point guard who could come off high screens and get into the paint, collapse the defense. And he's done a little bit of that, but that just isn't who he is at this stage. And, you know, maybe he can get back to it. Maybe not. Maybe this version of him is kind of what the Celtics are going to have going forward. And if that's the case, I still think that, I mean, the contract is really tough, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, like, if he's helping, that helps. Like as long as he is actually, like, bringing something and like, the Celtics are going to go as far as Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown can bring them. So if Kemba Walker can facilitate that to an extent, then that's a positive, right? Because, like the whole thing is just make this easier for Tatum and Brown. And as long as Kemba is doing that, I feel like, you know, the Celtics can feel a little bit better just kind of about what he's bringing.
Okay, two things. First, I'm going to break some winning plays exclusive here. That Isaiah Thomas is not coming to Boston.
Correct, yes.
It's not going to happen. Despite that report, I don't think they're going down that road. The second was, do you think what about the idea, and I know it's tricky for a few reasons, but take everything out. Take the egos out. Take the contracts out. Whatever. Are the Celtics a better team if Kemba is coming off the bench?
So
this is Fournier is healthy in this scenario.
Yeah, for sure. When they traded for Fournier, that was my first thought, right? Because like, you look at, I mean, Smart makes a lot of sense as a pass first point guard. I mean, that's literally the role in which he's best offensively. You know, Fournier is a much more, I think Fournier is a much more dangerous scorer at this stage, just given his size and all of his skill. I think it would be worth experimenting with. That said, I think if the Celtics are still playing pretty well when Fournier comes back, it might be a situation where this team, you know, everything that's happened this season, like, I don't mean fragile in a bad way. I mean fragile in a very understandable way. Like, things might be too fragile to shake it up like that. Like, you might just have to be like, okay, this is working. Fournier is going to help a lot. He's going to play 25, 30 minutes a game off the bench. But, like, what they have right now is going pretty well, and they've seen that, like, things cannot go well. So, like, maybe just kind of, like, you know, ride this roller coaster or ride this and hope it doesn't turn back into a roller coaster.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I guess that's fair. I do think in a perfect world, Kemba, and we'll see. Like, as we've seen this year, like, it is a roller coaster. As much as we want this to be the end of it and for it to flatten out or just to keep going up and up and up and never come down, it's probably not the case. Have you been, you've noticed Kemba's foul shooting this year, by the way?
Not especially. Is it high, low?
He has taken 106 foul shots. How many has he hit?
interesting. Let's see. I will go – I think he's been – I'll say 90.
He's hit 100 of 106 foul shots this year.
Wow.
94%, 94 point something.
Yeah, I had not – I mean, wow, that's such a high number that I feel like I probably should have noticed that. That's wild.
Yeah, I was looking through his – again, I was looking through the splits today, and I saw that he's hit like his last – Oh, whatever. I'm not going to track it down. It's not that interesting. But yeah, he's been ridiculous. And speaking of high percentages, I was looking at Basketball References playoff odds. They just released a new batch within the last hour. Celtics are at 98.4% now. I don't know if they count the play-in as making the playoffs, but the Bucks, the Nets, and the Sixers are all at 100. Celtics 98.4, the Hawks 96.7, and then the Knicks are like 79.9. It's a big drop after that, because I guess so. That would make you believe that they're not counting the play-in.
Do you have them in front? Where's the Heat? Where are the Heat?
The Heat is 71.4.
That's wild that they're below the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a matter of schedule. Doesn't quite make sense, because I mean, Jimmy's healthy. It seems like Bam is healthy. And other than that, like if those two guys are there, you would think that's at least good enough to make the playoffs in the East, especially with Charlotte struggling and Pacers, who knows, and the Bulls are falling fast.
And I think all of those are the reasons why the Celtics would be really high, right? Because like, and the Hawks too. Because like when you look at the play-in tournament, I just think like Charlotte looks like it's very much on its way down. I mean, you know, you mentioned like Chicago. Like I think the Knicks, you just like don't necessarily feel like you can trust. I think there are a lot of teams below the Celtics now. Now that the Celtics have moved up and they're in that kind of 4-5 range, I do feel like there is a good chance for them to put some distance and really avoid the play-in game. Like just not have that even be on the radar by the time the season kind of comes to a close, because it's like Charlotte's so banged up. You know, like all those teams down there below them, I do feel like have like are going to provide a little bit of a buffer between them and the seventh seed.
If the Celtics could somehow grab the fourth seed, right? I'm looking now. I mean, it seems like Atlanta would be the pretty ideal opponent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even though it's crazy that they lost the season series to them, it's so hard to look at any season series this year because you don't know who was playing in any specific game. It's been so crazy, especially with the Celtics this year. And they played the Hawks. Oh, wow. All three games were over the course of a week.
Yeah.
During which the Celtics were lost 4 out of 5 games, it seems. So that was not a great time. Oh yeah, that was just so they played back to back against the Hawks, and then they had that horrible loss to New Orleans.
Yes.
And the horrible loss at Dallas, and then they had the back to back in Atlanta. Okay, so we're not counting that as anything. So obviously they need to finish ahead of Atlanta because they don't have the tiebreaker, but that would be a pretty ideal matchup in the first round.
Well, I think the other thing about that too is that those games against Atlanta were during that stretch where the Celtics played like it was some ridiculous number. It was like 10 or like 12 or 15 or some amount of games where the opposing team's best player scored 30 or more against them. That stretch where they just could not stop any lead guard at all. And of course, like Trae Young was just like, sick. I'm just going to get some buckets here. I'm going to get like 18 free throws in this game. Like, you know, it was like, yeah, of course you're not going to be able to do much with the Hawks at that point. So yeah. I think the Hawks are like the ideal matchup for them. Like Trae Young's first playoff appearance, that sounds, you know, that just sounds like a great opportunity for them to win a series and you know, maybe salvage something out of the season.
And one of those Hawks games, I think Trae was great too, but that was when Gallinari. You know.
Yeah.
Did he actually have 40 in that game?
I mean, he may have. I gotta say, man, as somebody who like still like plays pickup ball and everything, like watching Gallinari go off like that was inspiring, because I was like, all right, cool. Like after I'm washed up, I might still have some games where I can just like, you know, make like 18 3-pointers. And everybody's like, oh man, that dude used to be nice. So,
I got the box score now, 10 of 12 from three,
yeah.
38 points, 6 rebounds. And now you look, and then just really quick, you look at the Celtics that game. Jeff Teague starts, plays 28 minutes. You had no Marcus, you had no Kemba. You had the double centers with Tristan and Tice. Tatum was 4 of 20.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like you mentioned the double bigs, like you want to talk about a reason the Celtics are starting to surge again. Like Danny Ainge removing that temptation from Brad, I think, has helped quite a bit.
Dude, this is fucking crazy. I'm looking at this box score. So in that same game that I'm saying, you know, we had Tristan played 25, Tice only played 11, but Robert Williams played 14 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, whatever.
I mean, hopefully that big, I mean, honestly though, like I feel for Brad, because I think he knew that big rotation wasn't working. And at the same time, what are you supposed to do? You're trying to get minutes for Rob, who's trying to develop. You're trying to get minutes for Tristan, who you just paid the complete non-taxpayer mid-level exception to. You're trying to give minutes to Daniel Theis, who's been your starter on playoff runs, who's a good player. And, like, you're trying to do all those things in an NBA where you can't play two bigs anymore. So, like, that was a tough position for Brad to be in. So, like, I thought the Celtics, like, trading Theis was a little tough just because he's a good player. But at the same time, like, it just clarified things, I think, a lot for the team.
Yeah, they just never should have signed Tristan is the truth. But what can Correct. We do? do you have any insight? I know it's hard because, I mean, no one's really on the road with the team. But any insight into Rob's knee? Kind of just – does that seem – I mean, it's never good when a guy misses a game, certainly not with a knee injury when you play the way that Rob Williams does. But was there a specific play? Did you see anything where he might have come up, like, limp or anything?
I haven't seen anything. My impression is that, like, especially this season where everything's so condensed, like, knee stuff like that is going to be pretty – I mean, Jalen's been dealing with tendonitis all year. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of guys who are just kind of, like, limping around a little bit and could probably use a night or two off. And Brad did say, like, you know, this doesn't seem like a long-term thing at all. He doesn't expect this to be, like a kind of a big thing going forward. So, I mean, we'll see. Like, if he misses another game or two, maybe it's something to be really concerned about. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Celtics were just, like – like Rob is, you know, Rob's a really good player, but he's been a little bit fragile. So, like, you know, maybe just kind of take care of him and give him a chance to rest before they go home.
We can't lose Rob. Just emotionally, I don't think Celtics Nation, whatever. I don't think Boston, I don't think anyone who cares even a little bit about the Celtics can withstand losing Rob right now. We need to treat him. Kid gloves, yeah. Put him in a bubble, whatever you need to do to make sure that he is okay for when it matters.
I mean, I was saying that earlier this year too when he was dealing with all that hip stuff. It was like, look, this guy's been so good. I feel like whatever you need to do to make him like a long-term member of your team, you got to do. Like, right? Like to take care of his health, because if it actually is going to be a thing where, you know, he's got minor injuries here or there, he's got, like, you know, problems that could develop down the road. I mean, trying to nip that stuff in the bud right now when he is a useful member of the team but not crucial, that could be really good down the line when he becomes crucial, you know, to like just kind of have already handled those types of situations.
Cool. All right, well, let's wrap this up with one final conversation. Is anything, again, so we spoke, well, we weren't recording, but I think we all spoke like 2-3 weeks ago. And we were talking about, like, does anyone even care about the Celtics anymore? Is it worth even having podcasts about the Celtics? Like, everyone was so frustrated. It looked like we were having the conversation. Are we going to root for them to miss out on the play-in game and this go straight to the lottery? Because what's the point? This happens, you know, again. Tatum comes alive. Jalen is shades of, you know, the player that was an all-star earlier after struggling a little bit more recently. Kemba has played like in 10 of 11 games. Obviously that helps with, you know, when they don't have as many back-to-backs on the schedule. Marcus right. playing within himself. Again, as B-Rob said off the top, we say what you will about Tristan Thompson. I've said most of it, but the guy's playing much better. Looks like he's in better shape. Shades of the guy that you thought maybe the Celtics were getting. What are your expectations for this season? Like, let's say that they can get the fourth seed. What's the ceiling for this Celtics team?
Well, I mean, I like, we'll see. I think we'll know a lot more after this weekend when we see them play the Nets, because I'm curious to see them play some of these contenders, some of the Eastern Conference contenders with kind of this new momentum, this new kind of, seemingly new mentality, where they actually seem to expect to win games. So like, I'll feel a little bit more comfortable in my takes after that. But I mean, for now, I still think that, like, the three teams that are above them are clearly better to me. Like,
clearly,
I think Brooklyn and Philly certainly, and you know, Milwaukee, like, that's just like this season, I think that's just a different tier of basketball team. So, I mean, to me, if the Celtics win their first round series and they're competitive against whoever they face in the second round, you know, whether that's Brooklyn, whether that's Philly, whether, you know, as long as they do that, I think they can feel really good about kind of turning their season around and going into the off season with a little bit of momentum, kind of taking stock of where things are at, seeing what happens in the off season, seeing what Danny does, and, you know, going from there and building from there. And watching what happens to the rest of the teams. Like, if you can mount a real playoff push where you make Brooklyn sweat after you beat the Hawks in five or something like that, that to me is like a really nice, maybe it's not like the ceiling, but I think it would be a really nice place to kind of end up.
I think the nicer place would be a second round matchup with Philly.
Yeah.
That's the one where just, again, Embiid is as it seems like Jokic might win the MVP, but Embiid is right up there if he didn't get hurt. If he's healthy, terrifying, but still seems maybe a little bit combustible, until you see him do it in the playoffs, you're still wondering if he can stay locked in. And then Simmons obviously is his own issues, but like that second round against Philly is the chance to, I think the Celtics could really shock the world. I don't know if it comes down to Brooklyn, the conference finals, or even Milwaukee, I don't feel quite as good, but that's my ceiling. I think right now is that you get a breezy first round matchup with the Hawks where you can kind of hit your stride and hopefully stay healthy and get it in maybe five or six games. And then you catch Philly and either Embiid isn't healthy or can't quite keep it together on that stage in that spotlight. It's going to be crazy because, I wonder how full these arenas are going to be by the time the playoffs come around as well. I mean, everything's going to be different. And the guys who haven't done it before, I think it might be even a little bit more difficult. But whatever. I think that's a good place to stop. A very positive podcast. Our first time talking to each other over the airwaves. I think that's good.
Definitely. Yeah. This was fun.
And we welcomed Zachary Robb to the world too. So
absolutely.
That's especially nice.
Welcome Z Robb. That's awesome, man.
We'll have to have one podcast where it's just everyone's kids. No, that should know that. So I feel like most of the podcasts you can hear mine in the background anyway. So
my son would just come on and talk about T-Rexes for 35 minutes. So, if you ever want some T-Rex or Spinosaurus talk, my son's the guy for you.
Okay. Well, maybe I think that's a good niche podcast. I think, I don't know if that exists yet. I have to search Spotify when we're done. Cool. All right, Tom, thanks for coming on. We'll talk to everyone soon. I guess subscribe, Winning Plays, follow us. What's your Tom_NBA?
Yeah. I'm still suffering through that Twitter handle. So yeah,
I was going to say, what's the suffering? Is the underscore? I have an underscore as well. It kills me.
Oh no. I just feel like, you know, those people who would have like John_ESPN or whatever, and then they don't work for ESPN. Like, I don't work for the NBA. Like, I you know what I mean?
It's sure.
But like, it was 2009. I got the account literally to talk about the NBA because shout out to an editor at like a blog I used to work for. It was like, hey, you should have a Twitter account. So
this Twitter
Tom
thing.
_NBA was born, but yeah.
It's like Sam Sheehan NBA.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. Exactly. And like, I'm not trying to do a bit, so,
But you're
not
actually,
that he's trying to do a bit. Sam Sheehan NBA for hire.
but we're here talking about the NBA, so I think it checks out. Cool. All right, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, man.